Welcome to the Williams Neekin Why Be Hurtin' phone conference line.
Who's this?
It's Nancy.
Hi, Nancy.
How are you?
Fine, dear. And you?
Just fine.
How's it doing down there?
Oh, great day. Probably a lot of sun coming out.
Yeah, believe it or not, we're even going to have some sun here today, too. Had some nice sun yesterday. And
good.
Going to get up to 70 today.
All right.
Wow, that's probably cold for you down here.
Yeah, that would certainly be welcomed. It's probably going to be around 90 today.
Wow. I know with Mary Lou in Arizona, it's been blazing down there. 105, 108, crazy.
Oh, wow.
Yep. But that's why the air conditioning business does good in Arizona. I had a niece that lives down there, and she kind of, like they say, you know, the weather don't bother them bad because they either have air conditioning in their home, jump into their air conditioned car, and go to their air conditioned work. And so it's.
But theirs is a different type, isn't it, when it doesn't have that humidity?
Right, it's real.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I know up here, boy, if we hit 100 degrees, it's like, man, terrible, the humidity.
Right.
Real bad.
Same here.
Well, why don't we go ahead and get started at 7 o'clock, and we'll kind of see where we're going to head out today and things we want to talk about. One of the things, of course, we always do on Friday, and it's kind of a review of the overall things that we talked about, and unfortunately, it's just normally things that I write down that kind of hit me, but I know that sometimes, for those of you that are on the call and listen to the call, there's other things that, you know, when somebody says something that might be your golden nugget or your little thing for that one particular call that made sense, so kind of in my review, as I jump from topic to, or day to day, if there was something that somebody said and you feel that is important to you, go ahead and speak up about what it was that I, maybe that I particularly missed, because I've only got 2 ears, so we'll just go ahead and get started. One of the nice things about this program, you know, is we're, our mission is pretty well much to just health style to teach and support the practice of habitual health style choices, becoming more mindful. And for on the call that to miss a particular call because of whatever reason, you can always go to allswell.org. It's for those of you that are on the WebEx at the bottom of the page, and you can re-listen to the calls. And that's kind of fun. I like to do that every once in a while. Particularly if maybe I think that, well, that's like yesterday I had to leave the call for early because I had a doctor's appointment that I had to get ready for at 8 o'clock in the morning. So I'll be able to go back, and it takes about 2 days, I think, for sometimes for it to get on Steve's website, allswell.org, but I do like to go back and read. So again, I'd just like to thank you all for being here on Friday of the 25th. And good 2012. So I'd like to welcome each and every one of you. If you're on the WebEx, hello. If you're not on the WebEx and you're just on the phone line, please feel free to, if any time you have a question or would like to speak up, please feel free to do so. On Monday, Ruth talked about pretty well much, she kind of went over some basic overviews of the program, and from anywhere from journaling to exercise, to sleep, to nutritions, to snacks, to meals, to alkalize and alkaline our foods, to making sure that we're well-balanced there. But she also, when she talked about some snacks, she happened to mention Greenzymes was a real good snack. And I thought that was kind of important because sometimes when we think of snacks, we think possibly of some kind of a food, but yet not realizing that green enzyme is a food. So I agree with what she had to say. She also talked about how are we willing to avoid the strikes of chronic epidemics. how will you avoid these epidemics she talked about? And I thought that was very important. We don't realize it, but inflammation in our bodies do lead to a lot of chronic diseases. And they are, in chronic inflammation leads to the top killer in diseases. Toxins are poison, and we know that. We need to acidify our food. Health style, the food pyramid that the government goes by, basically ours is upside, just turn it upside down and you're on the right track. And I totally believe that. And of course our future, she talked about here, your future depends upon choices in regards to epidemics and wellness. So the choices that we make, the younger we get started in this whole process, the better off it is we're going to be. She talked about how sodium was pretty bad for us, and that how much sodium should we use daily, as far as all you say table salt or real salt or any other kind of artificial salt or whatever you might be utilizing, that we should never, that two-thirds of a teaspoon is pretty well much of all should we be getting on a daily basis, because most of, a lot of the food that we have, that we eat, anywhere from fruits and vegetables, particularly vegetables, do have sodium in it. So you should never utilize more than two-thirds of added salt to your particular diet. One thing, when Ruth had talked about salt, I happened to think about bottled water and how sometimes we, when people think of buying a bottle of water off the shelf, and I know you see people run around all the times with water bottle with regular old Danzia or Dasani or some other kind of water bottle in their hand drinking it, and what they don't realize that in that water is a whole lot of salt. And I happened to be at the grocery store the other day, and I grabbed one of the bottles of a Dasani, and on the bottom it says, in the ingredients, it says purified water, magnesium sulfate, potassium chloride, and salt. Now, what the amazing thing of that is, I don't know if, and I didn't know this, so I had to look it up, but magnesium sulfate, that it says here on the ingredients, is nothing more than Epsom salts, or what they call bitter salts. And I always thought Epsom salts were the purpose of soaking your feet in or other parts of your body. But there again is just another way that they can put ingredient on it and it be what most people don't understand, and that is basically salt. The other thing that was on there was potassium chloride. Potassium chloride is nothing but a salt. And then besides that, they also have salt. And I thought to myself, no wonder people have some of the situations they do and the amount of bottled water that they drink. But one nice way of getting rid of that, and that is through our particular water bottles and our waterfall water system. But that kind of, verified what Ruth was saying in my mind, that we do get a lot of salt in normal things that we eat without having to add it to them. Tuesday, Ruth was on the call again because Karen wasn't available, but she just wanted us to measure up. What are we doing? Goal setting and regular checkup. And she talked about the Kathy Abascal book and the knowledge of the body, how our body functions, and knowledge and how to listen to our body. Set goals of what we can control. And I thought that was a very good statement for me, because I find that most things in my life I can control and I can make choices. So how will we measure up in our weight and our exercise and our digestion? How do we get better sleep? Better relaxation? She talked about how the immune system is very important to our body. And do we appreciate it? And that kind of rang a little bell, too, that do we really appreciate the way that our body functions and the way that it's designed to function and that how our immune system is? And then if we don't take care of our body and our immune system, we know what the end result is going to be. She talked about setting goals based on the 10 points a day. And I thought that was very important. When we accomplish our goal, reward ourselves. In other words, don't be afraid if you set a particular goal for weight loss or exercise or whatever your particular goal was that you set on that day, don't be afraid to reward yourself. And whatever that might just be reading a book. It could be maybe going for a bike ride. It might just be going for doing something that you want to do that you feel is rewarding. And so everybody kind of set some goals that were on that call that day and talked about them. On Wednesday, Mary Lou talked about gum gums, you know, that our teeth are connected to. Or I should say, is the teeth connected to the gum or is the gum connected to the teeth? I don't know, whichever. But how they're important to our brain health and how root canals can be very, very bad. And sometimes people can have a root canal and don't realize that the infection is still there. And by it being there, that it gets into the blood system. And when it gets into the blood system, it creates problems for our heart and our brain. A bad bacteria in the mouth. Gum infections also affect the brain. Hardening of the arteries. She talked about her fat inflammation that she had. And she explained that to us and how when she went to her doctor and whatever, the doctor recommended a certain thing, but she basically said things she was going to do, but the doctor kind of said to her, about that being pretty drastic. But what he didn't realize was that she, in my opinion, she had a better plan to take care of that particular problem. If we can take charge of our own health. She talked about Dr. Fife and how she's been doing the oil swishing in her mouth with the coconut oil and how that also helps with Alzheimer's and other things and really draws out the bad bacteria that we have in our mouth the first thing in the morning and how she does that for about 20 minutes. And then the main thing if you do swish, and that is to make sure that you spit it out, don't swallow it, and then wash your mouth out, and then that's when she brushes her teeth. She also talked about dangers of saturated fats and how they're not as harmful. I think Dr. Blaylock talked about that in omega-6s because of omega-6s. And the red palm oil and coconut oil are very low in omega-6s. Actually, coconut oil has less omega-6s in them than olive oil does. She talked about pretty much five bad foods that we need to kind of stay away from. The first one, of course, was donuts, then fast food hamburgers, potato chips and fries, ice cream, and high-fat processed cheese. Now, that's pretty bad. And like I said, we talked about the fats and oils. And then Thursday, Ruth was on the program with us, and she talked about what do we do about all the toxins and diseases we have in our body. And I thought that was very important. She went through some slides on how toxins can basically cause bad inflammation in our blood vessels. And, of course, the answer to all that was pretty much Neekin is the answer. You know, we have the products available to us through all the different pillars of health and all the different products that we have to make sure that we get an awful lot of toxins, particularly out of our body. Inflammation is the cause of all aches and pains. And I know how many people are running around with aches and pains and don't really realize that it's basically due to the inflammation that's in their body. What things we don't have that we are now? What things we don't have that we are now since we've been on this program? And it was kind of a I don't want to say a weird thing, but I thought it was very intelligent question was how many times we seem to want to think about the things we do have rather than to realize by being on this program, you know, what maybe aches and pains we don't have, just good things that are happening to our bodies, but we don't really think about them too much. And I thought that was very good. She talked about good nutrition, talked about staying out of the middle of the aisle of the grocery store. When you can stay out of the middle of the aisle of the grocery store, you will avoid a lot of inflammation. Karen talked about the travel pillow and how when she sleeps, she sleeps much better by utilizing the travel pillow. And Ruth talked about that she utilizes that too, and she felt that it basically gave more support to her neck, which in turn allowed her to feel better. And Ruth talked about stay away from MSG and glutamate and how glutamate is not very helpful to our bodies and to our brain at all. So that's kind of my review for the week. And like I said, if any of you are on the call that hosted the call, or maybe there was something during the week that maybe piqued your interest or that I didn't catch for myself, is there anybody out there that would like to make a comment on something that they felt was very important in last week's calls? Feel free to speak up if you do. Okay. We've kind of been on the brain subject here lately because of a certain situation with Matt, and I think I'm going to try and stay on that a little bit also this in my topic for my hosting. And the one thing I want to do is go over is for we talk about the brain, and that is the best antioxidant fruits and vegetables that are helpful to our brain. And one is the ace of berries, the blueberries, blackberries, cranberries, strawberries. Isn't that amazing? Berries. All those antioxidants, all those bright colors and everything else. Also spinach, raspberries, Brussels sprouts, plums, broccoli, beets, avocados. I wonder why avocados would be in there. I'm sure it's because of the great, great omega-3s. Oranges, red grapes, red bell peppers, cherries, and kiwis. And one thing I noticed when I read that, and I know this to be true because of this program and the information that I look up, and that is that anything that has a real bright color is a good type food to be eating in most cases. So I thought that was kind of important. But those are the best antioxidant fruits and vegetables that are utilized in our brain. And so I want to get into another portion of our brain that when I read this from a book that I have, it kind of, you know, when we think of exercise, what do we think of? You know, when I think of exercise, I think normally, well, it's going to get my heart rate up. That's good for my heart because my heart's a muscle. So the more exercise I can do to increase my heart, the stronger that muscle becomes, which because it sure pumps a lot, and it's kind of over my lifetime. And I'm sure I've caused it to probably pump harder than what it really needed to be pumping. So I understand that process. But we also think of our lungs and how our lungs are, you know, when we exercise, we breathe deeper. They talk about sweating, you know, and how that helps get rid of the toxins out of our bodies and whatever. But one of the things in reading this, it talks about exercise. It says, those who think that they have not time for bodily exercise will sooner or later have to find time for illness. And I thought that was very important. Because one of the things that we don't understand, or I really didn't, is that physical activity basically was a natural part of our life by our ancestors. And I do read sections and then comment on them. They basically hunted animals for food. They tended to their gardens, built their homes, and walked wherever they had to go. In our thoroughly modern world, we drive to work, we sit at a desk all day, we drive home and loaf around on the couch. We've almost completely eliminated movement from our day-to-day lives. This is bad news for our brains, not to mention our bellies, I'll use the word fanny, he uses another word, and our backs. If you want to have a healthy brain and body, you've got to get off your fanny and move. Physical activity is the simple, most important thing you can do to enhance brain function and keep your body looking young. Whether you are 6 years old or 96 years old, exercise acts like a fountain of youth. If you can only follow one of the solutions in this book, makes it made in this one. And I really thought about that when I realized that, you know, exercise isn't just for our heart and our pulmonary, it's basically for our own body. Now, why does exercise pump up our brain power? He goes on to say that physical exercise acts like a natural wonder drug for the brain. It improves the ability to pump blood throughout the body, which increases blood flow to the brain. And I never thought about that, I guess, when I ever exercised. I never thought that basically what I was doing is I was kicking up the blood. And, of course, the blood supplies more oxygen, glucose, and nutrients to the brain, which enhances overall brain function. Of course, the numbers of ways that physical exercise benefits the brain is truly remarkable, and we're going to talk about a few of them right now. First of all, exercise encourages the growth of new brain cells. Aerobic activity that gets the heart rate up extended period of time boosts brain's neurotrophic factor, a chemical that plays a role in neurogenesis, or the growth of new brain cells. Think of it as the miracle grow for your brain. When you exercise your brain, it sprouts new cells. When your brain doesn't create as many new cells as it loses, aging occurs. You know, and I thought about that, you know, that we always talk about, we know that our cells are always born and die and reborn again, and unfortunately, those cells that do come back in our body are pretty well much, if they're bad cells, they're going to come back as bad cells. It's kind of like a genetics type thing that we have in our body. These new cells, here's the amazing thing that got me. It says, these new cells survive for only about 4 weeks, then die off unless they are stimulated. If you stimulate these new neurons through mental or social interaction, they connect to other neurons and enhance learning. This indicates that it is necessary to exercise consistently to encourage continual new cell growth in the brain. It also explains why people who work out at the gym and then go to the library are smarter than people who only work out at the gym. And you know, that's something that I realize, and we're going to talk about it a little later, so I'll forget what I was going to say right now. But anyhow, physical activity enhances cognitive ability at all ages. Thank heavens I read this one. It made me feel good. It says, no matter how old you are, exercise increases your memory, your ability to think clearly, and your ability to plan. And they did some tests that they did on kids, and they, because of, you know, we've kind of eliminated physical activities in school, and it had to do with they talked about the test that they did with his, called in the Trends in International Mathematics and Science Study. And for years, you know, the United States has been lagging far behind pupils of other nations, you know, including, for instance, like Japan, Korea, Singapore, and China, and basically these two subjects of science and mathematics. Well, what they did is they came up with this program to where they started to take children and give them more physical activity, and they found that in giving children more physical activity, instead of being so sedentary, that they found that the scores of those children increased dramatically. Absolutely. And you know, here again, I believe it. Again, because when we have exercise, we pump that blood to the brain. That brain, in turn, just creates those new nice cells. And there's a lot more evidence in how exercise boosts brain cells. They did another study in California, and they end up getting the same basic results in regards to academic test scores, that those children that were more physically fit and did more exercise were better than those children that did not. Physical activity boosts memory in young women aged 18 to 25, and it improves frontal lobe function in older adults. And I, you know, that's something I really want to know more about, and that is the different sections of the brain and what they basically do. Getting your body moving also protects the short-term memory structures in the temporal lobes, the hippocampus, from high stress conditions. Stress causes the adrenal glands to produce excessive amounts of hormonal cortisol, which have been found to kill cells in the hippocampus and impair memory. In fact, people with Alzheimer's disease have higher levels of cortisone levels than do normal aging people. I thought that was something that, you know, maybe it's just a good message. Again, the more we exercise, the healthier our brain becomes. And, of course, exercise enhances your mood. When people who exercise consistently report a general sense of well-being than people who are sedentary lifestyles who do not experience exercise. Getting your heart pumping allows more of the neutral, mood-enhancing amino acid L-tryptophan to enter the brain. L-tryptophan is the precursor to the neurotransmitter serotonin. And we all know that basically what serotonin does. Serotonin basically pretty much helps balance our mood so we don't get and have anxiety and all that sort of stuff. Basically, exercise helps alleviate depression. We know that, again, because of the blood. Exercise calms worries and anxiety. Research shows that high intensity activity can soothe anxiety and reduce the incidence of panic attacks. Exercise helps prevent delay and lessen the effects of dementia and Alzheimer's disease. Physical activity was associated with lower risk of cognitive impairment. Alzheimer's disease, and dementia of any type. High levels of physical activity were associated with even further reduced risks. The researchers concluded that regular physical activity, could represent an important and potent protective factor against cognitive decline and dementia in elderly people. And like he said earlier in the book, you know, I think I mentioned it, that, you know, it doesn't matter whether you're 8 years old or 96 or 98 years of age, some sort of exercise is very, very important, and we need to be aware of that. Of course, we know that exercise, physical fitness, sparks better behavior in adolescence. They have found that children that are more physically active than people aren't, that their basically behavior is much, much better. Also, people who exercise regularly sleep better. And I know we've talked about that, you know, and how sleep is so important to our body. But regardless of your age, engaging in exercise on a routine basis normalizes melatonin production in the brain and improves sleeping habits. Here's an example. If you ever watched your kids horse around in the backyard for hours and then collapse into bed at night, you know how true this is. And I think that's very important. You know, we think about, well, they're just getting physical exercise and they're just tired. But what we don't realize is it is produced, the brain has produced more melatonin in it because it has more blood flow to the brain. And exercise helps cope with hormonal changes. It says that evidence shows that regular exercise tends to minimize symptoms associated with PMS. Also helps women deal with hormonal functions that occur during pregnancy, premenopause, and menopause. So basically, exercise is a key to better health, better energy, and better mood. And exercise promotes better health and helps you basically live longer. Regular exercise increases the chemical nitric oxide, which tells the smooth muscles in your blood vessels to relax and open, allowing blood to flow more freely throughout your body. You probably never think of your blood vessels as having muscles, but they do. Every time you exercise, you give your blood vessels a workout. With consistent exercise, your blood vessels become more robust. That helps keep blood pulsing in your heart, your organs, your tissues, your brain. This boosts the health of vital organs and reduces the risk of high blood pressure, strokes, and heart disease. Physical activity also enhances insulin ability to prevent high blood sugar levels. We've heard that several times on this call, thereby reducing the risk of diabetes. In addition to exercise, increases the production of glucagon, which is the major antioxidant in all cells. Pumping up the blood levels of glucagon, I think is the right word, protects muscles and other tissues from free radical and premature aging. Exercise has the ability to give you a better beauty regimen. What's good for the brain is good for the heart, is good for the skin. Exercise improves blood flow to every organ in your body, so it makes sense that it would benefit your skin, which is the largest organ, and we all know that. You know, and Nikin's got some wonderful products for the skin. The exercise, by the blood being flowing to it, is actually amazing. They've also done some research in regards to, now I know this might sound crazy, but scratching. Sometimes scratching a certain part of your body actually creates brain activities in your body, which creates more dopamine. So that's all I'm going to talk about in today. I think tomorrow what we're going to do is I think next Friday we'll talk about the skin and basically how your skin is basically your outer brain. Okay, and we'll go into that, I think, next Friday unless I decide to venture up to a new subject. Does anybody have any comments or suggestions?
Yes, Monty.
No!
What you just said to us today, I feel like, is an absolute, I don't know how to explain this, but Monty, that was incredible information. And I want to know, do you have can I have access to what you were reading from? Because I want to share this with my husband and my family. This is very important information.
Well, I'll tell you what. I got it from a book. I happened to be watching PBS one day, and there was a gentleman on there by the name of Dr. Amon, and he's been involved in brain research for quite a few years, and he promotes his business in a lot of things, and he believes in brain scans, and he's got a way of actually doing brain scans that you can, it'll actually amaze you when you see the pictures. But that's where I got it, and it's called, the book is called, Ruth, I hope this is okay if I mention it, I think I did last time anyhow. It's called Change Your Brain and Change Your Body is the name of the book, and that's where I got this information out of. And I just feel, you know, I know this subject came about because of Ruth's son, Matt, but, you know, I think it's sometimes something we don't really think about. You know, we don't think about it till we unfortunately have a stroke or something happens, or we have trauma, we get involved in an accident, we get brain damage or whatever it is, and then we realize how important the brain is to basically our body. And like I've always said, I'm not a body with a brain, I'm a brain with a body. So that's where I got that information, Karen.
Well, and who's the author?
Daniel G. Amon, or Amen, A-M-E-N. He's an M.D., he's involved, he's a psychiatrist, he's a clinical neuroscientist, psychiatrist, and brain imaging expert who heads the world-renowned Amon Clinics. And I've went into, so that's where I got the information.
You know, the reason why this really hit me hard today is, as you all know, I've been gone on a trip. And during that trip, I didn't do my regular exercising. I just was involved with a lot of things. And when I came home, I have been shocked at how my stamina and... I've just been amazed that I haven't felt right yesterday and the day before when I was exercising. And now I can understand what's been going on. And I want to share this with everybody that I love and that I'm concerned about. That's the reason why I asked you for this information. I need to really share this with my family. Thank you, Monty.
Anybody else have any other comments? Or questions? You know, like Ruth said, you got to hear that, particularly in regards to salt, we want to make sure that we have less than 2,500 basic milligrams of salt a day. And we, like I said, and like she said, we get a lot of that basically pretty much in our food or whatever.
Monty, I'd like to announce that we will not have a call on Monday on Memorial Day.
Oh, darn. Okay. Anybody else have anything you'd like to say?
Well, thank you very much, Monty. Boy, that was awesome information, and thrilled to know we're going in the right direction, but I was shocked to hear about the salt in bottled water.
Well, you know... Yes, Ruth is, you know, and made us all more aware of, you know, reading labels, you know. And
yep.
What we don't realize is what's on a label, and I think when people grab a bottle of water, and I'm not going to say that's in every bottle of water, that just happened to be the one that I checked that day, but I do find that most bottled water has some sort of preservative in it, and the preservative in most cases are salt, and they can put it in there. The nice thing about it, what I think it doesn't show in regards to the ingredients or the nutritional, what they call nutritional facts on the bottle, where it normally mentions the calories, the total fat, the sodium, total carb rate, and I think it says protein on it. In most cases, the sodium, it just shows no sodium, as zero. But what they don't realize, by putting those other things in it and causing them different names, that's really what's in it. But because I believe the FDA standard says that if there isn't a certain amount, they cannot put it on the nutritional facts. But when you add up all the the magnesium sulfate, whatever it was, the potassium chloride. It does even mention salt on that label. When you add those three, all they're putting in there is salt. You know, one thing I've come to find out in eating this new way, that if I do find something that is a little salty, my taste buds pick it up right away. And that's because I do believe that if you're off something for 30 days and you come and you reintroduce yourself, and Kathy talks about it in her book, that when you reintroduce it back into your body, that, you know, whether that be sugar or salt or, you know, you can actually taste that when you've been away from it for a little while. Anything else, Ruth, that you'd like to say?
Well, I never ever thought I'd have to read the label on a bottle of water.
Like, well, I think that's good, particularly
no,
when
good
we talk
read.
About water in our mag, in our water bottle, in our waterfall. You know, is that those are things to, you know, that I'll, when I talk about it, I can say to people, you know, you're drinking that, but really kind of what you're drinking is you're putting a lot of salt into your body that you don't even know you're putting into it. And we all know that salt isn't good for us, excessive amounts. But when I stop and think about all the bottled water that people drink, it's like they carry it wherever they go. Even in a grocery store, they got bottled water. When they're walking, they're carrying bottled water. When they're out exercising, they're carrying bottled water. Whatever they're doing, they're drinking water, and it all comes out of a crazy plastic bottle. Now when I realize more what they're actually doing, and I don't think they know what they're doing. Well, I should say in most cases, most people, and I hope nobody gets upset with this, that really don't understand what they're really doing to their health by the things they're doing. Anyhow.
Here's the salt over here on the left, acidic. Refined salt is acidic.
Yeah,
and also refined salt, my understanding, would probably have been bleached. That's why it's all white.
Yep, and how do they bleach it? Chlorine.
What is chlorine? A carcinogen.
Yep, you got it. Anytime you read anything that says bleached on it, it has to be a carcinogen involved in the process. Whether that be bleached white flour or whatever. And if it says bleached, it's got bad things in it.
Wow, a whole nother story.
Yeah, I know. A whole nother story for another day, another subject. Well, I've had a great week here on this program. I'm sorry I missed half of Ruth's call on Thursday. Ruth, was there anything that I didn't mention on reporting Thursday towards the end of the call?
You did such an excellent job, Monty. Just very excellent. I just very much enjoy it.
Well, like I say, I hope people feel free to speak up because, you know, I'm only one individual. I only hear certain things. And that way, even though each and every one of us might have heard something different or have a particular nugget, that I hope that when I review, they would speak up on those particular days and say something that maybe I didn't mention that they felt was very important. Okie doke. Well, everybody
I'm definitely off to exercise now.
Well, you know, the other thing, too, he talks about in exercise, and I know we're a little over time here, but he talked pretty much about different ways that sometimes when we exercise, we only do certain things. And exercise is kind of good for the brain. So in other words, it makes our brain think. It's like Mary Lou, when I read this about how we should alternate our exercise, Mary Lou said one day that she's got this GPS program, but she can't stand to go ahead and walk the same way every day. Well, I noticed when I was walking back when that I did. I went certain places and did certain walks. But it talks about if we walk like Mary Lou's doing, that's good. Basically what she's doing, she's not only helping her body, but her brain is being affected because in going on different areas, she sees different things. And that does what? That makes the brain think, because the brain's seeing different things, which creates better brain cells. But here he talks about things like table tennis. And I think, Ruth, you mentioned tennis the other day. He talks about dancing and dance classes. Running, walking, golfing, walking, hiking, frisbee, swimming, basketball. He goes into a lot of other different things, but badminton is an example. But when we exercise and we give variation to the ways we exercise that particular day or what we're looking at or what we're seeing or whatever is basically beneficial to the brain. So I was going to talk about that, and I didn't, and I'm sorry, but I think that's very important. In other words, let's say one day, let's say Ruth jumps on her a trampoline. Mary Lou goes for a walk. Somebody takes a bike ride. Somebody maybe just going out and throwing a frisbee, basically, and things like that. Doing different things when we exercise is really important to the brain.
Monty, my neurologist that I just saw said to make sure that you're doing something that you enjoy, because otherwise it'll get to be old and you won't keep it up. And he suggested that we sign up for a Tai Chi class.
Well, you know, I've heard that.
We'll see what's next. What was
Go ahead.
That?
The other things Tai Chi is important for, and I know the Asians believe in it a lot, and that is particularly for the aged people, and that is that it creates better balance. When you have better balance, then you lessen the fact of fall. So that's one of the good reasons for Tai Chi also, is because of balance, and balance is very important the older we get. Thank you for that comment.
That's another story.
In another day. So let's wrap this one up, because we could end up being here till whatever. Oh, my gosh, it's 7:40. I'd like to thank each and every one of you for being on the call. For those of you that host the program, you really give out some great information. For those of you that have comments or suggestions, that's really, really appreciated. And I know we really appreciate each and every one of you. This is Memorial Day weekend. Give it some real thought. Have a great day.
Thank you.
Bye, everybody.